for bringing us together. We thank you because we know that your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in our midst. We know that you're here. We ask that you give us understanding concerning the things that we'll be looking at today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, thank you. What we're going to be looking at today is continuing from where we stopped last week. And last week we were looking at, still under the Living the Life series, we looked at the first part of the financial stewardship and money teaching. So we looked at the first part last week. What I'm going to try and do today is just to cover the second and the final part. And the reason why we're looking at financial stewardship and money is because, like I mentioned last week, money plays quite an important part in our society. It's, you know, we use money to, when we go to work, we get paid money. When we want to buy anything, you know, we have to, you know, pay using money. And we looked at the effect that money has, and money from the perspective of our Christian walk. So last week we looked at what is money. We spoke about that quite extensively. We looked at money in the context of our faith. And the last bit that we looked at last week was God as our source. So that's what we looked at last week. Now, for today, we're going to be looking at, we'll carry on with that. Today, I'm going to be looking at three things. And the first part is honoring God as our source and tithing, financial wisdom, and God's financial principles. Now, anytime he gets to, you know, talking about money, particularly within the context of church or a church meeting, sometimes it can be a bit sensitive because people might say you're trying to get them to part with their money. And the bad thing about it is that if you switch on your television sometimes, you have people who are always after your money, you know, they're always trying to sell you something or something. So it's like, I think sometimes we have at the back of our minds, man, this person is trying to get my money off me. So it makes it a bit touchy. But irrespective of that, you know, we have to really get an understanding of money and wealth from a biblical perspective so that we can understand what we do and why we do what we do. So the first thing we want to look at today is honoring God as our source. Now, if we look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, Now, last week, this is where we ended last week. And what we said was that as a Christian, what you want to bear at the back of your mind, and what we should bear at the back of our mind, is that God is our source. Our jobs are not our source. Our business is not our source. And I'm using that word source. Now, when we work or when we have a business and all that, we have to bear it at the back of our mind that those things are the things that God uses to provide for us. Or some people might even give you money. So your job, your business, going to work, that's not really our source, so to speak. Those are the things, those are the channels that God uses to get these things to you, like to get your daily living to you. He can also use people as well. So am I saying we should just, we shouldn't work or do any of that? And we need to work and strive to get a living and all that. Do whatever we can. But at the back of our minds, you know, we just want to bear it in mind from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, that says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenants, which he swore to your forefathers as it is. And I think this mindset and understanding this will go a long way. At least for me particularly, it's helped me so much to understand this. So I know that whatever job I'm doing, if it ends or if it doesn't continue or whatever happens, I'm not too concerned because I know that God is my source. So it's just the confidence that we need to have and to understand to start first of all. Now, so that's the basis of all this. So my next question or my next point is, why do we tithe? By the way, the tithe is 10% of our income. What the Bible tells us is that as a Christian, you should give 10% of your income to God. And I'm sure some people might wonder, how do you give money to God? Do you, like, you know, address it and take it to the mailbox and say, God, heaven? I'm sure if you wrote that and you went to the post office and you put it on the scale and it said, Mr. Benson, where's that letter going to? Heaven is on there, it's written. I'm not quite sure they would know the amount to put in terms of stamps. So, yeah, I know, because I've been a delivery man for our house for a while, you know, carrying all these packages in the rain, sometimes unpaid. Sorry, I just had to put that in. So I know, you know, they weigh all those things. They ask you where it's going to. So you're not going to put a stamp and say, okay, it's going to heaven. So that's not how we give to God. But so we want to look at tithing this morning. Why would you, as a Christian, you know, give 10% of your money to God? And I'll explain how we do that in a minute. What's the rationale behind it? And I can tell you there's so many perspectives to this. Some people might think, oh, I'm not going to do that. Some people might say, how can you expect me to do that? Some people say, I mean, so if you Google tithe on Google, you see so many. If I don't have to Google, just have the conversation with someone. How can you give 10%? You know, so people have different opinions, which is fine. Opinions are good. But we want to look at the Christian perspective. And again, these things that I'm saying, again, I will present the Bible to us. But at the end of the day, you know, we have the choice to make to see if it's something we want to go with. But at least we'll have been provided with all the information. Now, why do we tithe? I'm going to give us an analogy here. I was just thinking, how can I explain this thing in a manner that at least it brings it home to us? Because I don't want to just rail off some scriptures from the Bible and say, okay, you must do this, 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 this. No, 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 no. We don't want that. And the reason why we don't want that is this. I was reading an article yesterday about this man of God. I mean, this man is so, this guy is so gifted. He's quite old now with the knowledge of God. You know, this guy is what you call like a proper teacher. Any topic you ask this man, when he explains it, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe, you know, how did he see all that? So he's one of the guys that I read his stuff, his articles, and he made a comment, and this guy said that a lot of the people that grew up in his church, because he's a pastor as well, he's been a pastor for in this particular church for over 30 years, very well known. And he said that one thing he noticed, and I think even with his own children, was that once they left the church that he was pastoring, some of them had to move to different countries or regions. He said that they just stopped tithing because, in quote, they didn't really see the need. Why should they? And in fact, he was saying that most people who are under 30, the younger ones like, who even go to church, don't really agree with it because they don't see what the point is. And he was now saying that he now wrote this article to explain why, you know, they should tithe and all that. The point I'm just trying to make is that it appears that quite a few people don't really see why they should tithe. What's the point? And there's so many arguments around it. So he had that concern. So I just thought, okay, let me just try and explain it the best way I can, and we'll look through the scriptures so that our understanding can help us to, outlast our stay in this church, because we're not all going to be here forever. Some of these young folks are going to, well, I'm not going to say go to different countries. They won't be here. Maybe you guys will still be here with Pastor K, just, you know, slugging it out in Bristol, and, you know, but these chaps, they have their eyes all over the place. Some people want to be astronauts. Some people want to be, so they might not always be here, and you might not always be here. It might be that you're posted to a foreign country somewhere. You're going to start a mission somewhere, and, you know, you'll be remembering my voice ringing today. So just to get a good understanding. So why do we tithe? Let me give us an analogy before I start to going through the scriptures. Can you imagine this scenario? Say, for example, I was going on my boating trip, right? ran into some waves and I crashed into a desert island by myself. I'd finished all my supplies of food and it's just me on this desert island. The only thing I have is like, you know, like some fire, and I'm just going to keep that fire. I'm not going to light it so that when a ship is going, or if I see a plane flying across the sky, I can quickly, you know, light the fire so they can, you know, rescue me because I'm low on supply. And I'm in that place weeks and I'm lying down on the sand and I'm just waiting to just go, really, because there's no food. I can't leave this desert island. My boat is cracked, sunk, and I'm just there. And I've tried everything. Nothing is happening. I don't have a mobile phone either. And I'm just waiting for the end. Then suddenly, I now see a sheep just going. And on that ship, they just, you know, a boat just going across that desert island. And they sight me there. And they just, you know, park into that desert island and I'm rescued. Not only am I rescued because someone has found me, unknown to me, someone somewhere had been looking for me. You know, they had put out my name on the news looking for this person, just one person. And they didn't give up. They were just searching months. And they said, look, forget about this guy. He's gone. This person didn't give up. And they finally found me. Now, when they found me, I'm now like, who has organized this rescue party? And they tell me, is this man, I'll call him Mr. G. Mr. G has found me. Now, I go to Mr. G and Mr. G now says, oh, we're so glad we found you. But not only am I glad that we found you, what I'm going to do, because I know that you've lost a lot of time, I'm going to give you a job. You're going to work with my company. Don't worry. I'll, you know, provide the things that you need. And if you need free health care, all that is provided for. And he sets me, he calls me, you know, I hope you're fine, you know, and he's really concerned about me. Then Mr. G now says, oh, by the way, I'm going to another country now. I'm not going to be here because I'm going to another country. And when I go into that country, it's a remote country. There are no communications or anything at all. So I'm not going to be able to contact you, so to speak. And I'm so grateful. But Mr. G now tells me, there's one thing you can do for me, though. I have this project that's really dear to my heart. Anytime you work, would you please just give 10% to support that project I'm doing? Because that project will really reach out to people and do all that. Because I can't send money to them anymore. I'm going to this remote island. Can you just do that for me, please? As you will. Mr. G leaves. If you are in that situation, and this Mr. G person told you, he saved you, you have died, and he says, please give 10% of what you earn from the job that Mr. G gave you, your dream job sometimes, what would you do? Would you give? It's a question. Would you give? Now, this isn't a trick question. I'm painting a scenario here. Would you give? Now, why would you give? I'm interested in the why would you give? Great. What was it? Gratitude. Now, would you, if someone told you, like, this is you now, somebody else explained this and said, this Mr. G did this to me and all that, and this chap now comes up to you, not you now, and he says, can you imagine, he's asking me to give 10% to support that project. What do you think? What would you say? Some people have, you know, come with strong terms, ungrateful. Now, the reason I'm pointing this scenario is that I want to drive a couple of things home here. Now, this is not a sales pitch, you know, because I'm not a salesperson, but I want us to really understand the whole scenario. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Bear that scenario in mind. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of your crops. So, God begins to tell us here that, look, the way you can honor me, the way you can show, one of the ways you can show gratitude to me is to honor me. That word honor means to appreciate someone. It says, honor me with your wealth. Do you understand? So God is saying something here. He's saying, look, honor me with your wealth. Same like the story of Mr. G. So Mr. G saved this man and he's saying, look, I'm going away, but I have something that I can't fund myself. I want you to give to those folks. Do you understand? Proverbs chapter 3. So when we give our tithe, we're not doing it, or we should not be doing it because we're compelled. We'll look at that. We're not doing it because someone has overridden our arguments. Do you understand? We're not doing it because we want to get something back. Like, you know, I've heard, you know, like God, some people will say, and I'll put a PS in there, give to God and you will get back. Yes, you will. But that is not our primary motive for giving. We're not honoring God. We're not giving to God because, you know, no. It's simply from a heart of gratitude. Do we understand that? From a heart of gratitude. And so that's number one. Now, the other thing is this. Let's look at, he asked questions. You ask me after. Honor me with your wealth. We'll have a chat about that after. Now, how do we honor God with our wealth? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to look at three things. I'll look at, for the theologians, I'll look at Abraham, I'll look at in the law, and I'll look at Jesus as well. So Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. It said, Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He said he met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means the king of righteousness, also king of Salem, which means king of peace. So we see the first person that actually honored God with his wealth. And he gave it to this high priest of God. It says he gave him a tenth of all that he had. Now, I'm going to put PS here as well, as I explain. One thing, I just want to put a disclaimer here, you know, because maybe some people will hear this tape. Sometimes when pastors say this kind of thing, you know, because some people might hear this tape on our website, they might say, oh, that guy's prepping them up so he can collect money from them, you know. So that after the service, I'm gonna be looking at everybody with my eyes. I'm like, I hope you understood that sermon. And no, I just want to appear as that in this church, in CFT Bristol, I don't earn a salary from this church. I don't even get stipend from this church. Do you understand what I mean? So the same way that everything I teach here, the same way I'm saying we should tithe, I do the same. Do you understand? So I don't get paid by the headquarters. I don't get paid. All the money that we get from this church, Once they count it, they pack it, put it in the bank. We send all the, so it goes to the headquarters. That's why they pay for this, you know, our stuff here. So I don't get paid by the church. So it's not because I want us to give so that, you know, the man of, No. So let me just put that out there. So we're all in the same boat here. Do you understand? But in this, he gave to this high priest of God a tenth. Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. 14:22. Now God is now saying here, this is now like in the Old Testament, it says, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Now in those days, the money that they traded with was their produce. It was trade by barter. So that was what was value. In our current day is money. Money is what we use in terms of value. So it says that you set aside a tenth of everything. Now let's look again. Then let's look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. So Jesus was saying something here as well. And it's like a double-sided meaning here. So he was actually, Jesus was criticizing the religious leaders here about how they gave tithes and all that, and they left out justice. It says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of law, justice, mercy, and faithful. But he now says, you should have practiced the latter, that is justice and mercy, without neglecting the former. So here, Jesus is saying that, guys, give your tithe and your offering, but don't neglect law, justice, and mercy. So we see here that Jesus is also implying here from this statement that, yeah, you guys should give your tithe, but don't ignore law, justice, and mercy. So that's the New Testament. So we've looked at that. Now, how much is a tithe? From all the passages that we've read, and I think in a dictionary, a tithe is 10%. So what that means is that God is saying that from the Bible, honor me with 10% of everything that you earn. It says from your increase. If, for example, it was in the old days, and if you were like a farmer or a chicken rearer, then, you know, you'd give that. But now we're in the 20th century. So it's 10%. That's what the Bible is saying here. So that's how much. Now, the other question now is, I've met people who will say, okay, fine, I agree I should tithe, no problem, but my tithing is I'm going to get the money I have and I'm going to give it to charity, or I'm going to give it to the poor, I'm going to do good deeds, I'm going to do good deeds with it. Well, although that's a good perspective and we should give to the poor, we should give charity and all that, but your tithe, my tithe, it doesn't go to the poor directly, neither does it go to charity. Where does it go? Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Now, I'm just laying out all these bits and pieces so that we're clear. And if anybody has any questions, see me after the service and we'll go through it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Where should your tithe go to? It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. So God is saying that we should bring the tithe, our tithe, into his house, that's into the church, so that there might be food in my house. So what this is saying, remember the story I mentioned about, that the analogy I gave about Mr. G and this person. So how do we give? Where do we give to? Now, we give towards God's, we give to God's church, the organization of God's church, so that, for example, all these things we're doing here, you know, they need to be paid for. When people go out to, let's say, missions, they're pay, you know, all this evangelism thing we do, all these bits and pieces, all. Now, when I say all those things, I put a PS, everything that is geared towards God's work within the local church, from the local church, that's where the tithe should go to, as we've read here. So what that means is that if you flip Christian channel on and you see someone there saying, send your tithe to me. Well, if you go to that church on a Sunday basis, and that's your local church, then that's fine. But if you don't, then you shouldn't give, well, your tithe to those folks. You should give, you can give what's called an offering. An offering is not part of your tithe. Do you understand? So your tithe, you go to the local church because it says so that there'll be food in my house. So that in your local church, you have, you can pay. I mean, it's just like, for example, maybe you, if I use this analogy, you're a mom or dad and you earn a salary or you get a monthly income from somewhere. Then you take that income, right? And send everything to your relative, and you don't buy food, you don't buy anything in your own house. Do you understand what I mean? And you leave your own house hungry. So that's the analogy here. So we can give to other people, we can give to other good things, but the tithe belongs in God's house. All right? So that's the whole story about tithes, the general summary about this tithe business. We can read about it later as well. But that's the main thing. Now, I'm just going to mention one or two other things, then we'll close. So we've looked at tithe. What is tithe? Where should we take our tithe to? Why do we tithe? The most important one. Why do we tithe? We don't tithe because someone has argued us into tithing, or someone has used the scripture to bamboozle us, if I can use that word. No. It's from a heart of gratitude. We'll look at that in a minute as well. Now, the other thing I want to mention is, and I think I'll do this backwards. I was going to talk about this one. I'll talk about this later. Now, what kind of, when we give our tithe, how do we give it? What is the heart with which we should give it? Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And as I'm saying all these things, if you guys can remember the scenario I painted at the beginning about Mr. G and saving this man from the desert island, when we give, what does God expect us to, what kind of attitude do we have with it? It says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So God is saying here that, one, give what you can. So if you earn 100 pounds, for example, a tenth of 100 pounds is 10 pounds. If you earn 1 million pounds, a tenth is 100,000 pounds. So he's saying the man that earns 10 pounds, 100 pounds, shouldn't compare himself with the man that earns 1 million. In God's eye, 10% is 10%. And if it's 10 pounds that you have, then you give the 1 pound as your tithe. God sees you as the same person who earns a million. So it's not quantity here. Do we get? It's percentage. I used to be an accountant before. Sorry. Ex-accountant. So, but the thing here is that God wants us to give cheerfully, not reluctantly. Do you understand? Not reluctantly. So that's why I'm quite careful here sometimes. I don't say, oh, if you don't give, blah, blah. I mean, has anybody ever heard me say that here before? No. Because it's cheerful. The same way you give, I give with a cheerful heart. The other thing as well, let's look at Exodus chapter 35, verse 5. How does God want us to give? Exodus chapter 35, verse 5. God was saying to Moses here, he says, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. It says, everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and this. God told Moses here, anyone who is grudging, who is saying, don't take from them. Because I don't, can you imagine if, you have this, if you had two uncles, I remember when I was much younger, we had some special uncles because I knew that anytime it's my birthday and they're around and I go, hello, uncle, it's my birthday. I mean, I knew that I would get, if I remember one of my uncles so much, every birthday I have, I'll just make sure that I'm around his vicinity because I know that, look, this uncle will just, splash out. Do you understand what I mean? And there's some other uncles, just forget it. Don't even mention it. So what I just want to say, can you imagine if you went to this uncle of yours and said, oh, can I have, some money to do X, Y, and Z? And it's like, you're always asking for money all the time. I mean, I work hard and 30 minutes is still telling you. Anyway, just take this. Just take that and go. Would you be excited to? Do you understand what I mean? So God is saying here, for anyone who is like grumbling at all, don't even take from them. Let them be. Don't take. Just, let them be. He says, willingly. Willingly. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9. It says, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. So we see a group of people here who, the Bible says, they gave willingly, wholeheartedly to God. This is the attitude that God wants us to have. I think sometimes when we read about God, we think God is just somewhere and he has no emotions at all. But the Bible says he feels sad. He feels angry. He feels, sometimes. So God has emotions. Do you understand? God actually feels as well. So imagine, someone treating you and just like, okay, just this beggar guy. Oh, okay, you know, how would you feel? So God has emotions as well. So in giving, it's with a heart of gratitude, willingly. That's why we give. Lastly, I have some other things here, but I'm just going to leave these ones and I'll put it in our home group material. Now, I'll look at one thing, then we'll just tick, we'll close. Financial wisdom. So we've talked about towards God. Let's talk about ourselves as well. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Jesus began to say something. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Financial wisdom. Okay, let me just open to it. Matthew chapter 14. Is it works now? It works now. Okay. It says, really? Sorry, I'm sorry. Luke 14, 28, not Matthew. Sorry about that. Luke 14, 28. Jesus began to say something here. It says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? Now, how is this relevant to us in the context of this? So we're looking at financial wisdom. Now, from a financially wise perspective, now looking at everyday life, everyone should have a budget. Now, a budget is where you put your income, what you earn, or what you expect to earn, and your expenses, and you put them together. And it can either be nil balance or you have surplus. Negative. Yeah. So God expects us to have a budget. And it sounds a bit funny, right? But if you don't have a budget, then how do you know what you need? I remember, I think I read somewhere, this lady was saying, well, budget, what does that mean? That she just spends till it's over. It doesn't work that way in real life. Now, what's a budget? And why do you need a budget? Now, let's take it personally to you. Now, do you know that God, when we pray, and again, for example, I remember when I used to, when I was in my university then, and I would go to my parents and say, okay, I'm off to uni now. Then they would say, okay, go and make a list of the things that you need. Then we'll see, you know, what you need. But if I went to my parents and I said, I need money. And they go, okay, so how much do you need? And I'm like, I'm not sure. And they're like, how much do you need? I need, they're asking me, I need 2 pairs of shoes, a trouser. That's not the question they're asking me. They're saying, how much do you need? So we will have what is called a stalemate because they're asking me how much I need, but I can't give them an accurate figure. And I can tell you, in those days, my mom and my dad, man, you had to outline it and pray for it to be approved because you could guarantee that it would be slashed. Why do you need new pairs of shoes? I bought you a pair of shoes 2 months ago, you know, because you know you want to appear new in school. How they get the money, you don't care. All is that you want new shoes. I knew you'd be, you know. So God wants us to have a budget. Do you understand what I mean? Now, personally speaking, since I graduated from I've always had a budget, and a bit maybe because I was an accountant. And that budget, in fact, till now at our house, I have a budget. In fact, several versions of spreadsheets because I had to balance. Because what happens is that I'll just get an email, this money, I need to pay for my phone bill. And I say, is that in the budget? Or some people ask, oh, we need, I need this table and this stuff, and they do like a list. How much it costs, but it's the budget, man. I can now say, okay, this is the income, this is the expenses. When I add it together, it's nil. Forget it, slashed. Then slashed. Or when the knife turns inwards and I just, all that has stopped now. I bounce home, bah, 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 with a nice shiny guitar. And I'm saying, oh, this guitar is made from, the wood is from Lebanon, and the strings are from Asher. And I'm describing how nice. And the other person who oversees the budget will say, oh, really? How much? And I'll try and evade the question. Forget about that, dear. Can you see, when I played, do you like the sound? And look at this. Oh, really? That was nice. But how much? Is it in the budget? You know what I mean? God expects us to have a budget so that we can plan. And even for the church, you know, jokes apart now, even for the church here and personally, what we've been taught, and Apostle says that a lot, at the beginning of the, before the end of the year, as the pastor of the church, believe it or not, I will do a projection. How much do we need from January to December for the church? Do we need to print flyers? Do we need to buy this? Do we need to do this? And I do a list for the whole year, before the end, for the next year, for our house as well, for like personal, I do, believe it or not, I will do a whole list based on what we spend and how much do I need for rent, how much do I need for mortgage, how much do, if these people ask for money, you know, and we do all that before the beginning of the year. And we now present, it to God. And I say, God, for 2016, as a church, this is what we need. As a family, this is what we need. This is how much we need. Do you understand? This is how much. So it might be that I don't even have that money yet. I've said, God, you know, I need to buy this, not, you know, and we need to, you know. And that's how it works. You understand? So God expects us to have a budget so that we can be financially wise. So I'm sure, just tell the person who's next to you, I'm sure you're going to have a budget now. You not just go and meet mom and dad. And the first question you should ask, not, I want to buy this. Just say, Dad, can you put this in the budget? Mom, can I? No, just joking. So the point I'm just trying to make is that God expects us to tithe from a heart of gratitude. And on our part as well, we should have a budget so that we know how much we're earning, how much we're expending, and we can present it to God to really help us. Let's pray.